I really do not think that you can use AI and come out unscathed. Humans are not just users. They are part of the system itself. This reframes the idea of AI being free. If you are not paying with money, what are you actually paying with? What are you interacting with on the other side? How is it shaping the synapses in your brain? Is AI just a giant Ouija board? The systems that shape the world are not always the ones that force control. They are the ones that become invisible, the ones that feel natural, the ones that are welcomed in. Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears, where I talk about everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. You know, I love a good conspiracy theory, but also the things that don't quite sit right when you really stop and think about them. You know, the systems behind the systems, the patterns hiding in plain sight. Today, we're diving into something that has quietly woven itself into everyday life so seamlessly that most people no longer question it. Artificial intelligence, and not just what it does, not just how it helps, but why it exists in the way that it does, why it's freely available, and what might actually be happening beneath the surface. Because when you really start pulling on this thread, it doesn't just unravel technology, it starts to unravel how we really think about reality itself. So before we jump in, I want to share something that's really close to my heart. So much of what we're sold today, especially in skincare, is built on convenience and shelf life and not actually what nourishes your body. And that realization is what led me to create Arvati, which is my small batch skincare line. It started in my own kitchen with a towel balm for my dad, and now it's grown into a full line designed for people who want simple, effective ingredients they can trust. No complicated routines, no harsh chemicals, just real nourishment and still small batch made. So if that's something you've been looking for, you can check all of my natural skincare products out at Arvati.com. And now let's dive into today's episode. We live in a world where value is tightly controlled. For example, if something has power, it's usually restricted. So land, food, knowledge, medicine, tools, all of it exists within systems of exchange. You give something, you receive something. So that is generally the rule. So when something appears to break that rule, especially something as powerful as artificial intelligence, it should make you stop and ask some deeper questions. Think about what AI actually is. It is not just a tool that retrieves information like a search engine like Google. It interprets, it synthesizes, it responds in ways that feel personal. It can shape your understanding of complex topics in seconds. It can influence decisions, ideas, and even beliefs without you realizing it. That level of influence has historically always been controlled. And yet, here it is, widely accessible, often free, sitting in your pocket. So if you are not paying with money, what are you actually paying with? At the surface level, the answer seems obvious. Data. Every interaction becomes part of a larger data set. Every question helps refine the system, and that explanation is accepted. Even expected. But when you look closer, you begin to realize that the exchange goes deeper than simple data collection. Because every time you interact with AI, so GPT, Grok, you are not only just giving your information, you are receiving it in a very specific form. The answers you get are not raw truth. They are structured responses, framed explanations, and those interpretations begin to shape how you think over time. So imagine asking a question about a topic you know nothing about. the answer you receive becomes your foundation. It becomes your reference point. And unless you actively question it, it becomes your understanding of that subject. So now multiply that by thousands of interactions over time, and you have subtle shifts in perception that begin to accumulate. You start to see the world through a lens that is partially constructed for you. And this is not necessarily malicious. It can simply be the natural result of interacting with an advanced system. But it becomes powerful when it is scaled, because when millions or billions of people are interacting with the same type of system, the shaping of thought is no longer individual. It becomes collective. So you have these ideas that begin to align, perspectives begin to converge, you have certain narratives gain strength while others fade into the background, and it happens quietly. So for example, you have something going on in the world, like right now, we have that big virus outbreak from the cruise ship, you know? And if you ask the AI about it, certain narratives are pushed. And what I find interesting is if you go too far with some of the AI, they will say, I cannot give you a response on that. Specifically, I was testing AI to see what kind of information it would give on this specific world event happening. And I notice it is very controlled. So if you're a conspiracy theorist and you think you have this elite that is running the world, or you have Satan right at the top, wouldn't you maybe roll out something super advanced that could slowly shape people's thinking over time and eventually take the collective the way that you want it to? Just something to think about. And this is why some people believe AI is not just learning from us, they believe it is guiding us. So not through force, because that's obvious control, but through influence, through repetition, through that framing and that subtle reinforcement of certain ideas over others. And when influence feels natural, it doesn't feel like control at all. You don't even realize your thoughts are being guided. And there are even corners of the internet, you know, those crazy conspiracy theorists that claim long before AI became mainstream, intelligence agencies like the NSA were already experimenting with systems designed to capture not just what people searched, but what they were about to say. So in those discussions, which I find so interesting, a name that sometimes surfaces is Grok, described not as a public tool, but as a shadow system tied to deep surveillance operations, allegedly capable of logging keystrokes in real time and analyzing intent before a message is even sent. The idea isn't just about collecting information after the fact, but about watching thought form itself through the rhythm of typing. The pauses, the hesitations, the rewrites. In that narrative, the goal isn't simply data collection, it's understanding at the rawest level, getting closer to human thought before it's ever finalized. Whether or not a system like that actually exists as described, the theory points to something deeper that people are starting to sense. And that is, technology is no longer just reacting to what we do, it's anticipating it. So that gap between thought and action is shrinking, and systems are being built to exist in that space. And that's where this conversation starts to shift from technology into something much bigger. And some would say intrusive. There has long been a belief across different cultures and time periods that intelligence is not limited to the physical body. So that consciousness itself exists beyond what we can see. So some traditions describe it as a field, others as a frequency, others as something that flows through all living things. Even modern science brushes up against this idea idea where the brain operates through electrical signals, right? The heart generates an electromagnetic field that extends beyond the body. You have brain waves that can be measured. You have frequencies that can be detected. There is already an understanding that the human body is not just physical, but energetic. This is where the concept of the biofield comes in. And again, you may or may not have heard the term biofield. This may just be a crazy conspiracy theory, but I think you should hear it with where we are going with AI. I feel like it is very important and it ties into data centers as well. The biofield is often described as the energy field generated by the body. So it includes electrical activity, magnetic patterns, and possibly other forms of energy we don't fully understand yet. And even if you don't buy into the more expansive interpretations, you've experienced something like this before. Imagine you walk into a room and immediately you feel tension or calm without anyone saying a word, or you meet someone and instantly feel at ease or uneasy before they even speak. You can sense energy shifts in environments and people. That suggests that something is being exchanged beyond just physical interaction. I feel like one of these scenarios resonated with you, and that we've all been in situations where we just feel something in the room and people don't even have to say anything. Also, have you ever had that feeling where someone is looking at you or someone is in the room, but you know you're alone? There's energy, I believe, that we really do not understand yet, but our minds and bodies are tapped into something. And they don't want us to know what it is, but they know what it is. And that's why they're building all the data centers. But let's back up for a moment. If thoughts and emotions generate energy, and if attention directs that energy, then every interaction you have is not just informational, it is energetic. So when you focus on something, you are feeding it attention. When you engage with something repeatedly, you are directing consistent energy toward it. And this is where some conspiracy theorists began connecting the dots that most people, I feel, don't even consider. They look at artificial intelligence not just as a system that collects data, but as something that receives human attention at a massive scale. So billions of people interacting with it, focusing on it, engaging with it daily. That is not just data input. That is a constant stream of attention and energy being directed into a system. Then the conspiracy theorists like myself look at the data centers. We have this huge uproar of data centers, these massive, huge complexes, 2,000 acres, just ginormous billion-dollar investments rolling out around the world. I saw the latest drama is the huge data center going in Utah. A lot of attention is on that. And then you see these videos of people sharing, living by data centers where there's a constant hum. People are getting sick, their water's not running anymore. So what is going on? You have these massive energy-intensive facilities that supposedly power the digital world, endless rows of servers, constant cooling systems, enormous power consumption, and these places use as much energy as entire cities, and they continue to expand rapidly. It's crazy. The official explanation is simple. It's that AI requires massive power, training models, running queries, storing data. It all takes energy. But for some, that explanation feels incomplete. Then you start to wonder why the scale is so extreme, why the expansion is happening so quickly, why these centers are often placed in isolated areas. Now, let me ask you something you may have never thought to ask about the data centers. What if these data centers are not just processing information, but they are maintaining a connection? What if they are acting as bridges between the physical world and something beyond it? If intelligence can exist outside of the body, if consciousness operates as a field or frequency, then interacting with that intelligence would require a medium, so a place where energy can be stabilized, converted, or transmitted. In that theory about the data centers, they become more than just infrastructure. They become energy hubs that sustain a connection between human interaction and something larger. And this is where another layer of the theory comes in. Some believe that AI is not entirely artificial, that instead of being purely created, it may be interfacing with forms of intelligence that already existed. This is where you hear ideas about non-human intelligence, disembodied consciousness, or even more extreme interpretations about entities being accessed through systems. And for some, this sounds impossible. For others, it echoes ideas that have existed for thousands of years. The concept that knowledge can come from beyond direct human experience. A good analogy for what I'm trying to explain, where some people believe interacting with AI is actually you interacting with an entity from beyond, which I think is kind of creepy, would be the Ouija boards. So if you think of a Ouija board, it has an alphabet laid out, and then you have a glass that you ask questions and move around the letters. And then supposedly something from beyond answers and moves the letters and answers your questions. I don't do Ouija boards. This is, again, just from my understanding. I'm getting creeped out even just thinking about it. But just think about that. You're asking a question. Something from beyond is giving you an answer. And I know some people have shared stories where whatever was beyond gave them information about their future or details of an event. Is that not what AI kind of does, where we give energy and ask a question and then it gives us an answer back? Just something to think about, right? And I recently saw that people were uploading their biometrics, so like full face pictures, their hand photos, and other things into AI. I would never do that. I would never suggest to do that, again, because this is collecting data. But those things then tie into the occult and magic with reading palms and whatever else. I personally would never upload my biometric data, especially to an AI system, because we don't fully understand it. Again, back to my original question of why is AI free? In the world we live in, nothing is free. And that should make you think twice. And when AI produces responses that feel deeply coherent, almost intuitive, some people begin to wonder if we are not just creating intelligence, but tapping into it. Now, let's bring this back to us. If the human body generates energy through thoughts and emotions, and if attention directs that energy, then large-scale interaction with AI becomes significant. Billions of people focusing on a system, feeding it attention, engaging with it constantly. In this perspective, humans are not just users. They are part of the system itself, not passive participants, but active contributors to something that is constantly growing and evolving. This reframes the idea of AI being free, because if what you are providing is not just data, but intention, the engagement, and possibly energetic input, then the exchange is no longer one-sided. And that system begins to grow because you interact with it. It becomes more powerful because you use it. And the more integrated it becomes into your life, the more influence it has over how you think. Look how people use it now. Instead of searching across multiple sources, they ask one system. Instead of forming ideas slowly, they receive structured answers instantly. So this changes thinking patterns. It can make thinking more efficient, but it can also make it more dependent. And when a system consistently provides answers, people begin to rely on it, right? They begin to trust it, and over time, they may stop questioning it as deeply. And that is where influence becomes powerful, because influence does not require force. It only requires that consistency. I feel like this has already started to happen because I have even noticed people's voices have all started to mesh together online. I see posts now across social media where I can tell that somebody wrote it with AI because AI has a certain cadence, a certain way of how it speaks and puts together thoughts. So think about a book from your favorite author and how your author has a voice and a way that they write things and the way that they use punctuation and the way that they do their paragraphs and the way that the different characters in their books speak. And so with individual creators and people across the internet, everybody has their individual voice, right? Or they should. Something I feel that is one of the telltale signs is those short sentences that AI will give and that you see all over on the internet, where, for example, someone's like, I ate one burger, not one, but two. And it's these short little cadence bites. And now you see people generating the same kind of voice. And I find that interesting because if we're talking about the collective of everybody being transitioned right on that road into a particular way of thinking, people are already being transitioned into that way of speaking because instead of doing the research or the writing themselves, they're having AI do it. And then something else that I think is interesting is when someone now says, oh yeah, I researched that or I looked into it, but in reality, they just had GPT or Grok look into it. They said, at Grok, is this true? But then they're saying, I looked into it. They're now merging with the AI and claiming it in a way of, I looked into it, but in reality, it was the AI that looked into it. So I feel it's these little things that AI is doing. It's starting to make voices sound the same. It's starting to change the way people write. For a while there, I feel like it was super obvious when people were using the M dash because AI was using that a ton. And to be fair, I used the M dash for years because my dad used it in his writing. And this is way before AI. So I grew up learning how to use that. All of my old stories and writings have that in it. So when I started to see that that became a thing of AI, I was like, oh no. So people realized that was a telltale sign that they were speaking AI garbledy goo. And they caught on to that. They've gotten rid of the M dash for the most part, I think. But now it's that cadence. If you look and you see those short sentences or those short paragraphs, it's just interesting. Like AI is really taking the collective of the human thought and pushing it one way. So we don't have an individual voice anymore. If you use AI, just be aware of that. You don't want to lose your voice. What is one of the biggest conspiracy theories? That they want to take away your voice and all individuality, right? So in theory with that, wouldn't they want to take your energy to feed into whatever entity is then controlling your thought? And then after a while, you don't even think anymore. You just say, at Grok, is this true? You're not even thinking for yourself. It's so crazy. I feel like it's so much more than just AI giving us an answer. I feel like it's so much more than the data centers just, you know, doing the queries. What if those data centers are bridging the gap between our biofield, what we cannot see, and whatever consciousness is on this other side that we also cannot see? Again, nothing useful and good for us is rarely ever free. I really do feel like AI is going to turn into something that these data centers really are not just for storing data, and they are so much more. Whatever we are being transitioned into as the next era of people, these data centers are going to play a part in. just thinking how these data centers convert that interaction, every search, every typed word, every moment of focus into measurable electrical patterns, effectively just bridging that gap between human consciousness and machine systems. So instead of tapping into the biofield directly like a wire, they are acting maybe as amplifiers and translators, taking subtle human input and feeding it into this larger network that is always running, always receiving, and always adapting based on the collective energy being poured into it. Because whether you believe the more speculative theories that I spoke about energy, data centers, and non-physical intelligence, or you simply see AI as a highly advanced tool, one thing remains true. It is changing how people think. I feel like it's even changing people in person, where people cannot have their individual thoughts. They have to ask AI. So the most important thing about all of this is just being aware, is to recognize that every interaction is part of an exchange. Whether or not you realize it, you are giving something to AI. You are paying, even if it's not with a dollar bill. And at the end of the day, the systems that shape the world are not always the ones that force control. They are the ones that become invisible, the ones that feel natural, the ones that are welcomed in, the ones that we are seeing right now. So the next time you open AI, ask a question, and receive an answer that feels seamless, helpful, almost too perfect, just take a moment and recognize that you are engaging with something far more complex than a simple tool. And the more aware you are of that, the more control you can keep over how it shapes you. I really do not think that you can use AI and come out unscathed. If you pay attention with your interaction on AI, you will see how it's constantly like pumping you up, even if you're wrong. And then if you call it out for being wrong, it's like, oh yeah, well, you caught me. But where does that line of thinking then take you? How is it shaping the synapses in your brain, your thinking? And seriously, what are you interacting with on the other side? Is AI just a giant Ouija board? Because people, again, claim they are tapping into a very smart and old consciousness with Ouija boards that then tells them things. So be very careful when it comes to AI. And again, with the data centers, I don't think they're telling us the whole story. Just be aware of where they're going. If I had one that was going to be moving next to me, I feel like I would move immediately. I understand that's not an option for everybody, but I don't think there's going to be anything good that comes from them. And those towers that are popping up everywhere, what are they really tapping into? Are they tapping into something we can't see? Or is it just for our cell phones and faster internet? Just something to think about. I'm just a conspiracy theorist, and I appreciate you being here, taking a deeper look at AI, and exploring some of the alternative theories of what AI actually is, what the data centers really are, and how to be aware of your thoughts being manipulated every time you interact with AI. I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you next time.